Well, the Sabres not able to keep their legs going throughout this one, as it seemed as it just faded down the stretch. Decent start, decent pace for Buffalo to start this game, but could not keep it up. St. Louis gets the victory. 4-1 is the final score. Buffalo's first game after the Christmas holiday ends in a regulation loss. As we welcome you inside our Amherst studios, I'm Brian Colzio. This is the official Paul William Belt Sabres post-game show. Yeah, it was an entertaining first period, despite no goals from either team. But then the Blues come at the Sabres hard in the second. They get three goals to put up a 3-0 lead, and that was going to be plenty on the night. Jack Eichel got one on the power play. Ryan O'Reilly, for good measure for him. I'm sure that one felt good for him as he was able to kind of put the icing on the cake, getting by Zemgus Girgensons and beating Carter Hutton to give the Blues a 4-1 lead, and that ends up being your final tonight, a 4-1 St. Louis victory. The Blues, despite the fact that they came into the night tied for last in their division, I don't think talent-wise they are a last-place team, but nevertheless, it seemed as though Buffalo's effort throughout this game as it went on kind of seemed to get weaker and weaker throughout. Coming up here on the postgame, we'll be heading to the Sabres dressing room in the next few minutes. Paul Hamilton's on his way there now. We'll get player reaction to this 4-1 loss to the Blues, and you know, Paul will get a chance to ask these players, how much did the travel today affect their game day routine? For those of you that did not know, Rob alluded to it there at the end of the broadcast, the collective bargaining agreement keeps any team from traveling on either the 24th, the 25th, or the 26th of December. So with the game today, the Sabres left in the morning on a flight and had just a day hotel situation, had a skate, and then, of course, maybe not in their normal routine, but arrived to play for this game today. And they'll be back on a flight tomorrow back to Buffalo because they have the Bruins at home on Saturday. But as I was looking at the schedule today, I did think, you know, not to make excuses for this team here, but I did think the Sabres did get the short end of the stick in terms of the schedule. If you look at the games, and there was quite a bit of games tonight, 13 games in total. Jersey has to go to Boston. It's probably, what, a half hour, 45-minute flight for a charter flight. Columbus to New York, that's maybe an hour. Detroit to Pittsburgh, probably an hour. Carolina to Washington, maybe even less than an hour. Philly to Tampa, maybe the same distance that the Sabres had to travel, but that one I guess I could argue. Dallas to Nashville, that's close. Calgary to Winnipeg, that's close. Minnesota, Chicago, that's close. Vancouver to Edmonton, that's close. Denver, Colorado, that is, to Vegas, that's close. Arizona to L.A., Anaheim to San Jose. There's the travel schedule, but the Sabres going to St. Louis. You know, you're traveling not only to the Midwest point of the company, but of the country, but you know, a time zone as well. But not making excuses for the Sabres. Just seemed as though going in today, it just was kind of weird in terms of how this game was setting up. But you know, there was mistakes made, and the lack of scoring from Jack Eichel, Jeff Skinner, that group seems to be again on display tonight. We like to use the phrase secondary scoring. Just not much offense generated at all by the secondary group. And Jason Pominville is out, and maybe his return, which could be as early as Saturday, maybe that'll help. Maybe that'll reshuffle the lines enough to maybe get it back to maybe where there's more. The best chance of the night that didn't result in a goal to me was Mittelstadt setting up Dahlin. If that goal goes in the first, maybe, who knows, we're having a different conversation. Maybe we're not. Maybe we're talking about a 4-2 loss. But maybe it starts off a little differently for the Sabres if they're able to get a 1-0 lead early on. All right, let's go get some reaction here. Live from the players, here's Marco Scandella live in St. Louis with Paul Hamilton.
Thanks, Brian. You guys came out, played well in the first period. How did it fall apart in the second?
We just didn't play to our standards, so we can't come out in the second period and play like that and expect to win.
In what way did you not play to your standard, do you feel?
We weren't skating, we weren't reloading, we just weren't playing our game.
What were you doing in the first period that was going well?
I don't think we played a good game overall. I think in the first period, moving our feet a bit more, but we didn't play well today.
How much did the travel go into it, having to travel same day?
It's no excuse. You know, you're going to have a lot of travel days during the schedule. Just absolutely no excuse for that.
Power play goal there at the end of the second. Did it feel like that could be a spark in that moment of the game, and then what happened?
Absolutely, but we just didn't deserve to win. We just didn't play well enough. It's not... You know, that was a good play by Jack, but just overall, we just didn't play a good enough game.
Thank you, Marco. Marco Scandella on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, there's Marco Scandella, straight and to the point. Obviously not happy with the performance. I think it's probably what I would be saying if I was on that team right now. Didn't even really like the first period. Let's go back to the room. Here's the goal scorer, Jack Eichel, now live.
You guys certainly had a lot of jump in the first period. Where do you think that went in the second?
Probably just our management and our game. I thought in the first we kept it simple, got pucks in, and thought it allowed us to play in their end. And then I think in the second they started to do that to us, and some extended shifts in our own end, and you know, a couple of bad bounces, and all of a sudden you're down a few goals. So, yeah, you know, obviously it's not an easy day for us in terms of traveling and getting here and the schedule, but, you know, I think that as a group we probably should have been a little bit you know, a little more mature about the situation and just, you know, giving ourselves a better chance to win. Maybe we got away from, you know, the details that make us successful for a bit in the game, and that's when they scored. So, you know, give them credit. I thought they played a good game. You know, Allen made some big saves. I thought, you know, we put a lot at him at the first, and he kept them in it. And, you know, we just didn't do enough to win tonight. So, we know it's going to be tough on us going forward, and just got to get back to practice tomorrow and get ready for a, you know, divisional game on Saturday that, you know, we really need.
There have been times this year where your goal really would have fired up the team and gotten you guys going, but didn't seem to do that on this night, did it?
You know, we get a goal at the end of the second. Obviously, it's a big goal for us. And, you know, I thought we had some good shifts in the third period in their end, and we had a couple good chances. I just didn't think stuff was clean tonight. You know, it was a little bit sloppy. I thought maybe we were chasing it a bit, and we really just never established our game after, you know, a little bit of the first. So, you know, just move on at this point. Obviously, we got to learn from this game, and you know, we will tomorrow, and we'll get ready for another game Saturday. But we have a tough road ahead, and we got a lot of guys in this room that, you know, need to, you know, take that next step. And I think, you know, it starts with a good practice tomorrow, and that's really all you can do. So it's going to get harder from now. I mean, this is everyone's pushing for points every night. So we're in the same boat, and we got to do that.
How tough was the matchup with Ryan?
You know, I thought our line generated a lot, to be honest with you. You know, we had a lot of good chances in the first. Obviously, it's tough in the faceoff dot. He's, you know, he does so, he makes it hard on you to win. And, you know, I was trying to change it up a bit there and do different things and just try and throw him off a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, give him credit. I thought that, you know, they checked well. And, you know, but with that being said, I thought we had plenty of chances. We get one on the power play, and I thought, you know, even in other opportunities in the game, we had good chances and some really good zone time. So, thought we could have done a better job probably capitalizing on those second and third chances around the net. Thought they collapsed well, and you know, Allen got the puck out of the front of the net, so give him credit.
Thank you. Yeah.
Jack Eichel on the post game. Carter Hutton is here. Carter, the last 40 minutes, obviously not the way you guys want to play. The first 20, I thought you guys did a pretty nice job.
Yeah, obviously, tale of two games. So, you know, obviously disappointed. You know, frustrating. You know, you think we get that goal and get some momentum, but it just doesn't. You know, I thought the third day we gave up a lot, and it's one of those things. Obviously, I think I have to be better. You know, it's one of those things. I think I'm real close. I'm playing well, but you know, four is just unacceptable, and it's one of those things. Lately I haven't been getting a lot of run support, so you know, sometimes you try to keep it tight, but stuff that's out of my control. And you know, I think as a team, we weren't happy with the way we checked tonight, and you know, we kind of let them hang around after a good start, and then they kind of took it to us.
When you think about real close two goals that go in off of you, that kind of sort of the story of the night for you, you're just almost there to just go.
Yeah, through. Tough break. Like the first one's kind of a weird one. Erod, I think he kind of talked to me in between periods. I think he jacked my skate. I kind of fell, and just, you know, obviously a weird goal. And then the other one, you know, he walks, well, you know, Bomeister right, puts it underneath the bar. You know, it's one of the ones you want to make a save, but you let a guy take a clapper from right there. It's tough. And then the other one, Thomas, he wasn't trying to pass that puck. You know, if you watch it, he kind of gets slashed and he like misfires and it ends up, you know, Maroon sitting back door. And I think it's one of those ones. It's just a lucky one. You know, obviously it's frustrating. And, you know, and, you know, you try to battle to keep it there. You know, I think sometimes when you're not getting run support, you try to do a little too much. And, you know, I just got to get back to doing my thing. I can't control what we do on the other end, but I need to be better. You know, obviously 4 goals is unacceptable, you know, so I have to do a better job of, you know, battling to keep us in games.
And kind of the fear of this game is that they played like, in a lot of ways, like people thought they would at the start of the season, and they really haven't, but they look pretty good tonight.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I think everyone, you know, coaches, everybody, we tried to prepare for that. You know, I don't think it should have caught anybody off guard, but, you know, they're a good hockey team over there, and you look at the standings where they're at, and, you know, say you flip 5 of those games for wins, they're right in it, right? It's a tight league. The parity is so good in this league now, so, you know, obviously us, it's frustrated, but, you know, I can only worry about my own performance, and, you know, I think I just, you know, got to keep battling. You know, I think I've been, you know, I've done a good job this year, but at the same time, you know, you need to find a way to, you know, just be make a couple extra saves here or there.
Thank you, Carter. Yeah. Carter Hutton in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
Thank you, Paul. Carter Hutton there. Before that, we heard from Jack Eichel, Marco Scandella, all part of our Blue and Gold Locker Room Report, brought to you by Fidelis Care. Quality health coverage, it's our mission. Visit FideliscCare.org. 4-1, the final. So Scandella basically wanted no part of the travel being an issue. Eichel may have alluded to saying that it would made it a tougher day, but then said, you know, they have to be more mature in terms of how they handle the situation, which probably, I would guess, is in the same line of what Scandella is saying there, too. Yeah, I mean, if anything, I thought maybe the game would go in reverse. I thought that maybe the Sabres wouldn't come out playing a disciplined game or, you know, whatever sort of style that they were looking to do because they had time off. But instead, they came out and I thought played their best right away, and then it got worse as the game went on. Good news, though, the Bruins do lose. So if you're one that likes to check the standings, the Sabres will still remain 3 points up on Boston. Buffalo with 47 points, the Bruins with 44. Even games played, and that'll be the next matchup. A good one on Saturday night in terms of juiciness in the Atlantic Division with the Sabres and the Bruins at 7 o'clock from KeyBank Center. Buffalo will start a homestand that'll carry into 2019. They'll have the Islanders at home next Monday night on New Year's Eve, and then they get the Florida Panthers in town the following Thursday, a week from tonight, before they then go back to Boston on January 5th for a Saturday night game. So a couple of huge ones coming up with the Bruins for those of you that are, you know, wanting to be worried about whether the Sabres get into that top 3 automatic spot in the Atlantic Division. You got to figure it's going to come down to Buffalo and Boston and Montreal, some of those threes. Okay, we're ready for head coach Phil Housley. Here we go live with Paul.
I thought our execution was high. We were fast. We had a shot mentality. Nothing went in, but that's one period. You got to play a 60-minute game, and I thought in the second period we were a little sloppy. You know, our execution, 3 icings, I think that's what started the momentum change, the penalty kill. It got them on their toes, and that was a difference in the game. We just didn't have any push in the third period.
2 of those goals, of the first one, he said Rodriguez lifted his pad or something, but it just seemed like you were losing battles there on the second and third goals.
Well, I just thought there's too many guys standing in front of our net and not enough guys from us going to their net. And in this league, if goalies see the puck, they're going to make saves. And a lot of times there was a lot of guys standing around our goalie poking pucks, and we just need to be a little bit more firm in front of our net.
How frustrating is the continued issue with secondary scoring? I mean, you basically become a one-line team.
Well, I mean, it's. I think those are good questions for our players. You know, we got to find a way, and I'll continue to say it, that if you want to score in this league, you're going to have to get dirty once in a while, and you're going to have to go to the net. It's going to get harder as we move forward here. That's a challenge for us that we have to prepare and get ready tomorrow for a big game against Boston, because that's going to be a tough game and they're not going to get easier. So we recognize that and we've got to work harder.
Thanks, guys.
Phil Housley on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Thank you, Paul. Have a safe trip back to Buffalo. Sabres and Bruins coming up on Saturday. Phil Housley's post game comments brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. Well, Jack Eichel's the only guy that scores. You heard the question there. The secondary scoring definitely going to be an issue. If you'd like to join us, talk about this one, 803-0550 is the local number. Toll-free, 1-888-552-550. You can send me a tweet if you're on Twitter, at BrianWGR, or you can send us a text at 550-550. For all of our local affiliate stations, we're going to say goodnight to you. We'll talk to you Saturday at 7 from KeyBank Center with the Sabres and the Bruins. For all of you on our flagship on WGR, more Paul William Belt's postgame coming up. 4-1, St. Louis is the final. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Here's Mittelstadt with one man back, leading three in. Mittelstadt goes left with it, centers, and Allen gets over to make the stop.
Big save early on from Jake Allen. Opportunity for Buffalo to grab the early lead. Mittelstadt, a beautiful setup for Dahlin, but Allen comes up big. It's our save of the game, brought to you by Geico Local Office West Seneca. Save up to 15% in just 15 minutes. Get your free Geico quote today from local agent Scott Kaltman. Brian Colziel back here on the postgame. 4-1 St. Louis. We pick up the highlights after that save, early second period, with our first goal, a mess in front, and it's finally Thomas who puts it home.
Schwartz goes to the bench, and the Blues look to set it right in front. Big stop by Hutton. Short side chance, and now the puck gets into the pads, and Carter Hutton trying to squeeze that one. It's still free, and the referee says it's into the net. Carter says how. The referee told him how, and it's 1-0 St. Louis.
Big mess in the crease. Hutton didn't know if it was underneath him or not. A lot of movement, a lot of bodies. Eventually, Robert Thomas puts it home. His third of the year, done assisting. 2:03 into the second. It's 1-0 Blues. A little bit later in the period, just past the halfway point, pass to the middle, Bomeister's all alone.
Down the left side, Steen trailing on the play with Perron carrying. Now centered in front, they score. Quick shot from the slot. Bomeister joins the play. And the 16-year NHL veteran gets the Blues up 2-0.
Bomeister's first from Perron and Steen. That's the game-winning goal and the big moment of the game. Brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. 2-0 St. Louis. The next shift, they make it 3-0.
Down the right side, working on Scandella. Centers it in front. And it's Thomas who's forced to the boards as the energy of the building picks up here in Missouri. Here's a pass to the side of the net. They score.
Maroon's third at 10:55, just 54 seconds after Bomeister had scored. That made it a 3-0 St. Louis lead. Before the period ends, though, on the power play, it's Eichel, his 15th of the year.
Ristolainen moves, opens up some room for Eichel with a shot, scores! Power play goal for the Buffalo Sabres captain. And Buffalo now down by 2, trail it 3-1.
17:25 mark, Eichel's 15th, Ristolainen and Reinhardt assisting on the power play. 3-1 Blues, but a comeback was not to be. Third period, the icing on the cake from the former Sabre, Ryan O'Reilly.
In behind the goal, Larson doesn't get a stick on it, and the Blues able to play it to the line and tipped around Dahlin. Now it's Ryan O'Reilly, gets around Gergensen's. O'Reilly with a shot, scores! You say he's not fast, but he's crafty, and with 6:13 to go in the third, Sabres down by 3.
Well, O'Reilly did look fast going by Zemgus Gergensen's on that play. Nevertheless, he's 14th of the year. Yeah, Gergensen's looked bad on that play. Steen and Perron assisting O'Reilly's 14th. There are your highlights delivered by Speed Global Services. Around the corner or around the world, Speed delivers. Visit speedgs.com. Final shot totals. Buffalo 31, St. Louis 32. Power plays, the Sabres 1 of 2, the Blues 0 of 1. Your three stars are all from the home team. Ryan O'Reilly, star number 3. Jake Allen, star number 2. And Robert Thomas, he had a goal and an assist. He is star number 1. And Thomas tonight is our high-impact player of the game. Brought to you by the Lockport Outdoor Store. High-impact gear for hardworking men and women. You'll travel 1,000 miles to find a store like ours. The attendance at Enterprise Center, 17,867. And the Sabres will next play home Saturday night against the Bruins. That's a 7 p.m. puck drop. I'll have pregame at 6. Hope you can be with us right here on the Sabres Radio Network. All right, let's grab a call here on the post game. We go to Bob is with us. TJ, I think, hold on. Let me see if I can get this up for you here. Bob, go ahead. You're on the post game.
Hey, Brian.
How you doing? Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First time caller, long time listener. Love the show.
Thanks.
I got 2 points to make. My first point, you know, I think it's time, you know, Connor Hutton has done a lot of good things for the Sabres, but I think it's time that we switch the roles here, put Linus Allmark in. You know, the kid is, he posted a 1.29 shots or goals per game average against the Western Conference. He should have played tonight. My second point is, you know, these kids, you know, nowadays in these in the new CBA, you know, the kids can't travel. I agree completely with Scandella. You know, that travel really hurt the team tonight. They should have been able to travel last night, been able to wake up in St. Louis. You know, I was at the bar at Slattery's with my boy Patrick McParland, and we were watching the game, and, you know, we were just saying how you know, Allmark needs a chance, and these guys need to grow up a little bit. But, you know, I'm excited for the Bruins game and go Sabres.
All right, Bob, thank you. Yeah, the collective bargaining agreement says no travel. I think if the flight is not what it was today, I don't want to make excuses. They didn't play good. I mean, they didn't play well at all. But scheduling the Sabres in St. Louis, I don't think it's really fair either. Like, why couldn't they have played tomorrow? Made it a Friday game. That wouldn't have been anything beyond the norm. Playing St. Louis Friday and then you're home Saturday. Now, you complain and try to say, well, then they got to play the Bruins on short rest. Well, I think you'd rather have it that way than maybe what they had to deal with today. I don't know how routine some of these players are right now that it's thrown off that much. If anything, I could see them coming out slow and then, well, you pick up after the game went on. But in fact, it went the other way, which I thought was kind of puzzling because I figured once the game got going and once the Sabres realized, hey, you know, we're not playing great, but it's still 0-0. We can still be fine here, that there might be kind of a little motivation to get going. And it really never came about. And by the way, I agree with your comment on Allmark. I would start him Saturday. Hutton has just been, I think, not on his best. I don't think he's been the reason they've been losing, but I don't think he's been at his best like maybe we saw during that 10-game win streak or even earlier back in October. I'd go ahead and start Linus on Saturday against the Bruins. It's a big game in the division, but Allmark, I think, has been good as of late. He just got the shutout against the Ducks. I would go with him. If you're asking me what I think Housley will do, I think Housley will go with Hutton. I would go with Allmark. I don't think it's a debate that is going to solve miracles with this team. I think the biggest issue still with this team is the fact that no one else besides Eichel or Skinner seems to be able to score. And if they can get something up, maybe Pominville coming back, you know, if that happens Saturday, maybe that just juggles the lines up just enough that maybe there's a difference there. But ultimately, I think no matter how Housley puts it together, at some point, Jason Bottrell's got to decide, am I going to do something here, whether this before the deadline, to maybe help out lines two and lines three, or however you want to label them. Because if it's not Eichel's line on the ice, it seems as though they're not scoring. And on nights when they do score, it's weird because it's not like they are the reason that they win, and they win 2-1 because they had two secondary scoring lines. No, it seems as though when you do get a little secondary scoring, it's like in a 4-1 victory where Eichel's line's already had two anyway. Just kind of weird how that's played out this year. But, yeah, they've got to get that secondary scoring. I feel like that's the number one issue. We could debate goalie. We could debate specialty. Like, there's things. But to me, the number one clearly is find somebody else, find some other lines to start scoring besides Eichel's line. And maybe that goes to Jason Bottrell. Housley said a little there about, well, why don't you ask the players about it? He seems to, I think, be thinking that some of those secondary players aren't willing to go, as he says, the dirty areas. Put in the work, go to the dirty areas, whatever. They're not doing that, at least in his eyes. Thanks for the call. 803-0550 here on the postgame. Seneca Poker, decks of the game. Not the most physical game in St. Louis. Blues officially out-hit the Sabres, 22-18. But Remy Elie led all players with three hits, We don't get to say Remy Elie's name that often. Why not? We'll give his three hits tonight with the lead, the Seneca Poker Decks of the Game. Brought to you by Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, the real deal for winners only. Well, my rant about the secondary scoring as we get to our Sabres core group feature here. Yeah, where else in the core here can we see some production? Well, guess what? Kyle Loposo's been a part of this team for a while. He hasn't scored since, what, November? He still have four? Is that right? Four goals? I'm going to just double check on that. I feel like he still has four. Is that right, TJ? Four goals? Jeez. He has five.
He has five.
Seems like he had five, like, in November. That's been a person that I feel like has been non-existent offensively that could start to score some more.
Last goal he scored was November 13th against Tampa Bay.
There you go. November 13th. That wasn't an exaggeration. It was partially meant to be an exaggeration, just to emphasize the point.
Last time he got a point was the 21st against the Flyers. He had an assist.
Yeah.
November 21st.
That's right.
He has not had a point since November.
That's right. Gergensen's three. I don't know. He's not a scorer, but it'd be nice to get a few more out of him at some point here. Sobotka, three. Same thing. He's not a scorer. It'd be nice to get a few more out of him. And the defense that was producing goals during that 10-game win streak, I've liked Ristolainen a lot in the last month. But the rest of the offense in terms of goals, Dahlin's chipped in with a few, and that's it.
I believe I saw Paul tweet that Ristolainen's on a four-game point streak.
He is, yes. I've liked his game in the last month, especially in the offensive end. But, yeah, the core group, well, if it's not named Jack Eichel, it's not necessarily coming through right now. The core group feature brought to you by Corrigan Moving. For your next move, count on your core group of friends at Corrigan. All right, let's check the rest of the night in the league. Sabres and Bruins are up next on Saturday. Boston did play tonight. For more on that, here's Dan Cave.
All right, thanks, Brian. Around the NHL is brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Yes, Boston will be in town on Saturday. Tonight, though, the Bruins fall to New Jersey 5-2. 40 saves for Devils goaltender Mackenzie Blackwood, who earns his first career win. With the loss, the Bruins remain 3 points behind the Sabres in the standings. Elsewhere, Phil Kessel scores twice, both times on the power play. The Penguins skate past the Red Wings 5-2. The Blue Jackets beat the Rangers in overtime 4-3. Meanwhile, the Flyers, down 5-2 in the third, pull off a late rally to force overtime, but the Lightning come out on top 6-5 over Philadelphia. Alex Killorn, the winner for Tampa. Capitals top the Hurricanes 3-1. The Flames, powered by a Johnny Gaudreau hat trick, get a 4-1 win over the Jets. And Dallas with a 2-0 shutout victory over Nashville. 49 saves for Anton Khudobin. Game still in progress. Late third period in Chicago. The Blackhawks lead the Wild 4-1. 2 goals each for Patrick Kane and Brandon Saad. Canucks lead the Oilers 4-2. That one's in the third period. Second period in Vegas, the Golden Knights and Avalanche are tied 1-1. JT Comfer, goal number 10 for Colorado. Ducks lead the Sharks 1-0 in the first period, and no score in Los Angeles, where the Kings are hosting the Coyotes. That one also in the opening period. Meanwhile, at the World Juniors, Canada victorious 3-2. The Canadians hang on to beat Switzerland. Also, Sweden over Slovakia earlier today 5-2, and Russia beats Denmark 4-0. I'm Dan Cave with Around the NHL. Brian, back to you.
All right, I'll leave this with the thought of the night here. As we talk about secondary scoring, will Jason Botterill do anything? Housley kind of calling out the secondary lines for not going to the dirty areas. Here's the tweet. Here's the tweet to me asking you about secondary scoring. Would you break up Eichel and Skinner to try to create two lines that have potential to score?
No.
No, I don't. I think we have plenty of stuff that shows us that almost never works. Almost never. Because they're scoring because of each other, right? You take that apart, it's not going to have the same effect, in my opinion.
Okay.
I don't know what TJ said, but I bet it was really intelligent.
I know.
Dan, wear some headphones.
Get some headphones.
Yeah, well, you know, probably along the lines of, why would you essentially dismiss your only chance lately at scoring goals to try and help other people?
See, Dan and I get each other. He doesn't even have to hear me, and he knows what I'm saying.
That's right.
Probably said it more eloquently than I did.
You guys were on the same page.
Yeah. We were, yeah.
No, look at Eichel and Skinner. They're feeding off each other. They have a great chemistry. Why break them? You're going to put Skinner with, what, Mittelstadt and Thompson or something, and Eichel with... It just doesn't make any sense.
Pominville and...
Right.
If he's able to play Saturday.
And look, they've won games...
And Reinhart.
And Reinhart, right. But they've won games where Eichel and Skinner have been the only goal scorers. I mean, it's not ideal, obviously, and logic dictates, and we're seeing it play out, that you can't do that every game, but... They have won, you know, 3-2, 4-2 games where your goal scorers are Eichel, Skinner, and Reinhardt, or just Eichel and Skinner.
I think it would take a pretty significant goal drought by this team and losing streak for Hosley to break those two up.
I don't think he would ever do it. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah,
a significant goal scoring drought. They're in one.
Well, I meant
as far as secondary scoring goes.
I meant that
from the top line. Even
I'm saying if the team loses here. The next 2 weeks, and they have one goal in all of these games. Yeah. You know, like as a team, we're sitting.
Okay,
saying,
oh, for the entire team, and that includes the top line.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
that's what it would take. I think. Sure. I don't think he's going to break them up. I agree with that.
I do agree with that.
I do, though, think that my idea of Ullmark on Saturday is what I would tell Phil Housley.
I would strongly consider Ullmark on Saturday,
and I'm not bothered by Hutton. I just feel like Ullmark's been good. I feel like I want to see him in a big spot, which is Saturday night at home against Boston. Like,
he was good last Saturday against Anaheim. And, you know, it's not like, you know, no offense to Carter Hutton. It's not like we're talking about a clear-cut number one, necessarily. It's not like we're talking about Ryan Miller or, you know, Dominic Hasek or anything like that. It's kind of, they're on track to play, what would you say, 60-40, 55-30, something like that. So why not? If Ullmark is kind of showing the hot hand and Hutton is kind of not where you want him to be at this point, which is where he was in October and during the win streak, then go with Ullmark for a couple games. See what happens. That's not to say that Hutton won't get back there this season. I think he will, but... Let's see what happens with Ullmark.
Complimenting Housley, I think I even said this with Paul and Pat on our roundtable before the Christmas break there, that I don't think I ever once this season ever in a negative way questioned what Housley did in terms of who he put in net. Mm-hmm. I think he's handled it correctly. Every time there's a back-to-back set, he's gone Hutton and Ullmark. I think that
there hasn't been anything to really argue.
I don't think
about
I've ever gone into a game thinking I wouldn't have went with him tonight.
This is the first time though this weekend.
But I think if he plays Hutton Saturday, which I still think he will, I don't even think I'll sit here and say, "Oh, I disagree." I feel like Ullmark has just earned it, and I think the start has all to do with Ullmark and nothing to do with Hutton. I'm not upset at Hutton. I don't think Hutton's the reason they lost.
Totally.
I just think Ullmark. I feel like is deserved the big spot here, and Saturday is one of the biggest games that we've had so far here in this part of NHL hockey we call relevance now for the Sabres here over the past month and a half.
I totally agree. It's more I want to see what Ullmark can do instead of what Hutton has done recently. I totally agree. And I'm not saying that...
And Ullmark might play great, and they still might lose 4-1.
Very true.
So we might be having the same conversation about secondary scoring, and it might not matter. I just... feel like I just wanted to throw that out there with
no,
the goalie.
No, right. And I'm not saying that I'm ready to disagree with whatever Housley does. It's just that I think what I'm this going into this game on Saturday against Boston, I think this is going to be the first time where you're really thinking, "Oh, who is he going to start?" You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, what do you think about this?
Ullmark played in Boston, remember, two Sundays ago.
Yeah,
and played great and won, and they won.
Yeah,
right?
And Eichel and Skinner were the only goal scorers.
And Eichel and Skinner were phenomenal in that game. They had 2 points
each, I
two
think.
Four points for Eichel, right? Two goals, two assists.
Yeah, Eichel had 2-2.
Yeah.
No, so here's my question for you. Ullmark had the shutout win last Saturday. Let's say that the Sabres then did not have a 4-day break after that. Let's say they played again. Let's say Christmas wasn't last week and they played again Monday night in St. Louis. Would you have gone with Ullmark back to back? Would Housley have done that?
Probably not.
You don't think so?
I think he just sticks with his schedule.
Mm.
And again, I don't have any complaints about it. I kind of would like to see Ullmark on Saturday in that spot. And I don't think that solves any scoring woes. I think our conversation could be the same on Saturday. I know Boston can score.
Will Ullmark play on the third line? Could be.
It's an interesting thought.
Yeah, it is an interesting
thought.
All
right, we'll end it with that. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
All right, well, to the debate about the secondary scoring until Saturday. That's when we'll talk to you next on the Paul William Belts pregame. For now, we put a wrap on the postgame. Thanks to our crew in-house tonight, TJ Luckman, our network producer, Jonathan Simon on our social media, Dan Cave, our anchor, Paul Hamilton, our reporter. For our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, my name is Brian Colesiel. I thank you for listening. The final again, St. Louis 4, Buffalo 1. We'll talk Saturday night from KeyBank Center with the Sabres and the Bruins right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.